The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you this Thursday morning. It's the 5th of September 2019 and we are here till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551. You can email Ryan at rte.ie or Brian at rte.ie, but that might end up with Mr. Dobbs. We'll take the first one, if you have it. Right, what have we got for you today? We have plenty to be discussing. We have an author by the name of Louise Phillips who will join us a little later on to talk about her latest book, but it's kind of based loosely on her experience watching that infamous trial that I certainly was glued to at the time, that of Louise Woodward. Do you remember her? She was a 19-year-old English nanny. And she was held responsible for the death of baby Matthew Epen, and how that all panned out. And that book, as I say, was as a thriller, loosely based on that story. So we'll get to that later on. We will also be giving you the opportunity to win a lovely prize with Air France, but don't get in touch with us yet because we're not going there until, well, at least not for another few minutes. So hold your horses. Isn't it amazing when you go home now in the evening and you find yourself thinking, well, I don't really need to watch anything apart from the news, because if you're, you don't even have to be a news junkie. You might just be interested in a spectacle, almost gladiatorial shenanigans, as we saw in the Mother of Parliaments, as they call it in Westminster, as Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn went face to face in Johnson's first PMQs, as it's called, Prime Minister's Question Time. And it was an extraordinary display and utterly compelling television. And in some ways, it was a delightful and delicious experience of democracy in full flow. I mean, if nothing else. And somebody was saying that yesterday. I think it actually was on CNN. It was Malcolm Rifkind, who we know from the Tory past, who was saying, look, there are no yellow vests. There are no riots. There's no one killing each other on the streets. He said this is, if you want to call it rebellion, if you want to call it parliamentary challenging, but it's done in the most democratic, it's actually quite beautiful among in all its chaos, if you know what I'm trying to say. But Boris Johnson did exactly what we thought he might do. He went in and he was underwhelming. I mean, the whole point of, I find it intriguing about Johnson, is he keeps banging on about Winston Churchill. He wrote a very good book on Churchill, by the way. The Churchill Factor is a very, very good book, a very accessible take, an enjoyable romp through Churchill's career. So you know, I'm not trying to be down on him for no reason. It's a very good book indeed, and I really enjoyed it. But back to his performance, he keeps talking about Churchill. He couldn't be the furthest thing from Churchillian. And certainly in the Parliament yesterday, it was more like students' union debater than Churchillian oratory. And to the fact that there's a shadow being cast by the portly grandfather of Churchill himself, Nicholas Soames, who is now an independent MP as a result of being deselected, essentially suspended from the Tory party, with among 20 other, I would argue, brave souls who took the plunge and decided to vote against the government. It was just extraordinary. Anyway, Johnson gets up to do his, as I say, students' union debating carry-on against Jeremy Corbyn. And if you haven't heard it already, it's worth a little taste of it.
But Mr. Speaker, I know he's worried about free trade deals with America, but there's only one chlorinated chicken that I can see in this house, and he's on that bench. Will he confirm again? Let the people decide.
And that's gas, and it's very entertaining, but it ultimately counts for nothing when it comes down to votes and trying to get stuff done. Even the language was a little unparliamentary.
The Shadow Education Secretary says that their economic policy is, and I quote, Mr. Speaker, by your leave, shit or bust. I say it's both.
I say it's both. Off he goes and into the sunset. So we'll see where it goes. It kicks off and it's all very exciting and very interesting, and we will be hearing, no doubt, plenty more on it forever. Let's put it that way. Now, very interesting book I finished last night by Robert Harris. He'd be one of my favourite writers, and he did that lovely Cicero trilogy that we've talked about, Lustrum, Imperium and Dictator. He also did the Selling Hitler, one of the great books about the Hitler diaries, just fascinating. He's written just heaps of books. We've talked to him here a few times, and he's going to join us next Friday live in studio to talk about The Second Sleep, his new book. And I'm not sure how much I can say about it because it involves a twist. And I'm so glad that I didn't read the reviews. I cut the review out and put it in the book like a bookmark. Said I'll read you later to see what you thought of it, the reviewer. But the review gives away the little twisty thing really quickly. So I'm not sure how much. I'm nearly have to wait till he comes in to ask him. But it's available in shops to buy now. It's set in 1416 or something like that. And I thought, I don't really have an interest in that period of history. I don't really know that period of history. But then everything I thought I knew changed and was questioned. And suddenly I found myself in a very different literary, historical world. And it just had my interest piqued. It's a quick read, very engaging. I dropped him a line to say as much. And he sent a lovely email back to say that he's looking forward to talking to us here next Friday. And he signed it from my beleaguered isle. And that's what, because he has plenty to say about what's happening in the UK as well as everything else, because his take on the ancient Roman world in those three books I told you about, the trilogy, essentially it took from his experience with Blair's Britain, and indeed Bush's Britain, America as it was at the time, and transposed it to ancient Rome. So pretty much all politics, all roads lead to the Roman Forum and the togas. But we just wear suits instead, or dresses, or whatever you're doing. Right then. Michigan, in the United States of America, became the first state in the United States to ban flavored e-cigarettes. Yes, this is a step the governor said was needed to protect young people from the potentially harmful effects of vaping. I swear to God, I saw somebody vaping recently. And I didn't know there was a human being behind. I thought a cloud had fallen down from the sky and landed. And you remember the scene Tonight, Matthew, and they emerged from the cloud, the dry ice. It was like somebody was going to come out of their behind their vape saying, "Tonight, I'm David Bowie," or whatever. It just looked like one of those opening of a movie, or like a music video from the 80s, because there was so much of it. "Are you in there?" "Yes, yes, I'm just vaping. I'll be with you shortly." Head in the clouds material. But now they have flavoured vaping, and they're concerned about this in the States. The state health department found that youth vaping constituted what they called a public health emergency, prompting her to take the action. This is to say the governor, as she complained that e-cigarette companies are using sweet flavours like bubblegum and Fruit Loops, and these hook youths, young people, onto nicotine with potentially long-term harmful consequences. Little story from the United States. Maura Higgins from Love Island, who will be joining Greg and Amber on the Late Late Show tomorrow for our first show of the season. We are hyped up about the show tomorrow night. It is just, and I've been chatting with Sinead O'Connor, and she was coming on to sing one song, and she said, "Will I do another?" "Yeah, do another." "Which one?" She's going to do a classic first. I don't even want to tell you, because I want to save some of the magic for the show. It's just beautiful. And she's in great form, and the buzz is great. Just going to be great. This, and Aisling B is coming on. She's wowing them over in the UK. She's tremendous. Keith Barry, whose show was on last night, is going to come on, and I think he's going to do some messing with the Love Islanders. I think there could be a bit of mixing up there in the middle of it. So that's great. And then Lewis Capaldi, who's just one of the big stars of the present, is on as well. But probably in some ways the biggest stars will be at the very beginning of the show, which is all those people who I've mentioned before in the national services, men and women in uniform from all over the country. We're all related to somebody or know somebody in uniform who do something for this state. They're going to be acknowledged, saluted and thanked tomorrow night on the Late Show. It's going to be tremendous, which is great. Controversially, I'm very, very controversially. I mean, in my words, controversially, I'm being advised, and I'm accepting the advice to go tieless for this little while. If we're going to do a run without the tie, and every time I mention it to people, I have to say they nod and go, "Good, that's the right thing to do." And so we'll see how it goes. That's one. We've a new chair, which I'm really happy about. We put a lot of effort into that, into the new chair tomorrow and the look of it. There's just little different things that you'll see. You know the old Gay Byrne Sig tune with the beautiful drums and the whistles and the owl and the To Whom It Concerns? How would you feel about that making a return? Would that be something else? It just has a different... Why don't we play... Could we get it for just to see... We'll play a little bit just to see if we... Maybe ask the lads to send it over to us and just get the vibe going. I'm very excited. That's what we call a tangent. Moira Higgins is now going to be on Dancing on Ice. They met a few of them and said, no. It was looking hopeful for Amber, but apparently the producers are saying Moira pipped her to the post with her sense of humour and personality, both of which we will be experiencing, we hope, tomorrow night. Do you remember the scene in The Sound of Music when Julie Andrews is running down the hill singing about The Hills Are Alive with the song? Remember that iconic movie scene? It turns out she was in terrible form that day. The whole thing went, it was a shocker. You know, one of those days you go, oh, just not feeling it today. And it happened. The weather that day when they were filming was awful. And obviously the movie is set around Salzburg in Austria, but the opening scene was filmed in Germany, in Deutschland. And it was so beautiful there, said Mary Poppins, said Julie Andrews. It was so beautiful. But it rained. And then she had trouble staying upright. The camera was mounted on a helicopter. No drones, just helicopters and cameras. And she revealed that she was knocked flat several times by the downdraft. And so she was, the hills are alive, and the motor blades were knocking her down because she obviously sliding. The rain was pouring down to the sound of music. I just want to go home. I hate this gig. I wish I was Mary Poppins again. And, you know, a spoonful of sugar would be much nicer than this. And the German hills. Anyway, she's 83 years old now, Julie Andrews. She's taking magic syrup because she looks the same now as she did then. And she said that her hair had to be fixed and her clothes refreshed after each of the 9 takes it took to film the scene over and over and over again. So she was, the hills nearly died, but they lived, and now we caught that gorgeous moment. Texts, you're busy again. I totally agree with you. Good. Kathleen says, I have never watched 2 hours of news solid before. Never mind 2 hours of the House of Commons. I couldn't turn the debate off, and I use that term lightly. And fascinating TV. And how good was Ken Clark? Yes, I mentioned him this morning upstairs, standing up before speaking a word sent shivers through the room. The Labour MP unable to speak through her gritted teeth. Don't get me started on the Speaker of the House. Order. I found him strangely attractive. There are books you could probably read that will lead you where you need to go on that front. All right. On a serious note, says Kathleen, last night's antics explain how the UK are where they are in this Brexit debacle. Yeah, but it was still fascinating. My son in fifth class, says the text, just started learning about the Land League, right? And as we were chatting about it yesterday and about Parnell, and I was delighted to point out to him that the day before, the same Parnell was mentioned in the Commons, regrettably, by Rees Mogg. But you can't have everything. Yeah. What is the name of the Robert Harris book you made? It's called The Second Sleep. It's in all your bookshops now. Be sure not to order it online because you'll be paying extra tax now with Brexit. Just go to your local bookshop. Shop local. Buy Irish. Yes, delighted that about the old late Sig tune. Are you? Do you think it's a good idea? Are we doing the right thing here? Just Friday, does that feel like a proper Friday night? To Whom It Concerns and on it goes? That's good. Okay, I think we're getting lots of love for that. So we'll see what happens. Because we have pretty much great music tomorrow, and the Defence Forces will be playing for us, and that suits them. And then why not just keep it going? We'll see what the people say. Margaret says, looking forward to hearing Sinead O'Connor singing and sharing. She's some woman for one woman. She is that. She's in great form. Delighted about the old Sikh tune, says the text. And just wondering if you read the book Profiles in Courage and if what you thought of it and would you recommend it? Well, you're talking about Kennedy, JFK's book, Profiles in Courage there. So you're into a very personal sense of how you feel about history. So I would say go for it, 100% go for it. If the fact that you know about it would suggest that you're into that, therefore try it and see. I see Cliff Richard. Remember Cliff Richard got into this complete palaver because the BBC caused him insufferable, unending, I should say, suffering, because they kind of infringed his privacy. That's essentially what happened. And he was being accused of all sorts of awful things, and he took the BBC to court after they filmed a police raid on his home. That was it, in 2014. And the footage included aerial shots taken from a helicopter, and that was shown on the news bulletins later that day. And he said, "Look, he was found guilty of nothing, obviously, never arrested, even never charged." And the BBC apologised and gave him £2 million to say sorry about that. They just got a bit too excited with all the news suggestions and innuendo and everything else. So off they went, and they've paid for it now. And a quick little bit of Handmaid's Tale, because we do like Margaret Atwood, and the book, her new book, The Testaments, 33 years later after The Handmaid's Tale, this is the follow-up, is out on September the 10th, which is just around the corner, and it's set 15 years after the ending of the famous book that we all know and love. And they reckon that they're going to make a TV adaptation of that. So that's one for Margaret Atwood fans everywhere. Right, 51551 is the text number. I think I'm kind of feeling a bit goofy today. So I think at 9:20, it being Thursday, yeah.